You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
In 3 days, I turn 31. And depending on who you ask, that means one thing. Your biological clock is ticking. I've heard it all. Freeze your eggs, Mpumi. Don't wait too long. Better safe than sorry. It's advice dressed as care, but too often it comes wrapped in panic and pressure. So tonight, I want us to pause. I want us to breathe and to get honest about what this whole conversation about fertility really is and what it should be. And before you start panicking, thinking, oh my gosh, isn't Mpumi infertile? No, I just have no desire to have children. But we're not talking about me here. What we are talking about is assisted reproductive technology, or ART for short. And it's not just about science. It's really about agency, about freedom, and about the truth, the kind that quiets the fear and empowers our choices. And who better to guide us through this complex, beautiful, deeply personal terrain than Dr. Tebogo Dio. She's a leading fertility specialist and obstetrician gynecologist, trained not only in South Africa, but across some of the most advanced reproductive labs in Europe and Asia. With years of clinical experience, research contributions, and compassionate patient care under her belt, she's helped hundreds of women and couples rewrite their fertility stories with grace, precision, and power. But what makes her truly remarkable is not just her title. It's that she speaks to us as a sister, not just as a scientist. She brings empathy to expertise and clarity to complexity. Dr. Dio is here not to alarm you, like I said, but to equip you. Whether you're thinking of freezing your eggs, exploring IVF, or simply trying to understand your options, she'll walk us through it all with dignity, depth, and a little bit of delight too. This is Tech Tuesday, after all, and tonight the technology we're exploring is giving women their time, their options, and their power back. Doc, hello.
Good evening, Mpumi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very excited to be speaking to you tonight.
Same here.
Because, you know, when you get to a certain age, people start getting worried, like, Sissy, are you okay? Do you need some help? And they don't even question and ask what is going on, right? And I think for a lot of women who are infertile or in marriages with a partner that is infertile, because it's not always the woman, right? Or maybe if somebody has decided to live their life first, whatever that looks like, maybe accomplish certain goals and not have children yet. Sometimes people can get so insensitive without realizing what is going on. And I really want this conversation to be anchored on people understanding that there is so much more than what meets the eye. And I really think you're the best person to have this conversation with. So are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Let's dive into it.
All right. Let's start with the basics. For those who don't really know what assisted reproductive technology is, what is it exactly? And what does it include beyond the usual headlines of IVF and egg freezing? Tell all, please.
So, assisted reproductive technology is about assisting a couple to have a pregnancy that they may have not been able to achieve naturally.
Yeah.
So this would include taking an egg and a sperm and achieving fertilization in the laboratory and ultimately implanting this embryo back in the womb.
Yeah.
And there's several treatments or technologies that can be used. IVF, like you've said, and there's something else called ICSI, and of course the now new buzzword, which is fertility preservation, be it either the eggs, the sperms, or the embryos themselves. But we can talk more as we go along.
Yeah. And what have you found to be some most common reasons people consider ART, especially today? And has that changed in recent years?
Yes, which is good. People come and check why they have not been able to conceive.
Yeah.
Because I think that people are becoming more informed. So having not been able to fall pregnant, but I'm also seeing more women coming in to say, look, I've heard that the biological clock is ticking. I'm not ready to have kids.
Yes.
So can I freeze my eggs? And I'm seeing more and more of people who are coming in like that. Sadly, I also see people who says, oops, I thought that I can have my career, live
life,
do other things, and I now am ready to have kids, or I'm realizing that the right man is not coming.
Ish.
Is there anything that I can do? And the sad part with those is that then you are like, ooh, the eggs are indeed finished.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I know.
And in the event that the eggs are fried, and I hope I'm not being insensitive by saying that, but in the event that really the eggs are no longer viable, what are the options? Is surrogacy the only way to go after that?
Actually, egg donation is what we are now looking at.
Oh, dog, so, tell us more.
Yeah, so if because the whole point here is that the challenge is that you are not able to produce your own viable eggs. So then somebody else can donate in the form of anonymous donor.
Oh, wow.
Meaning that somebody goes to the egg bank and they can donate eggs, or they register themselves with the egg donor agencies. Yes, and then they can donate, you know, to people they don't know. Or you can have a relative of yours.
Okay.
That can donate. Sister, I see that quite a bit, where sisters donate for each other.
And what is that? And please, at this point, dog, please pardon my ignorance, right? What does that mean then for the DNA of the child? If, let's say, for example, there's a couple, maybe it's a guy who's having infertility issues and the girl is okay with her eggs. What does that mean then if there's a sperm donor for this woman's egg, but the DNA that the child carries? Do you find that it becomes a difficult conversation to have with couples in that instance?
Yes and no. So the most difficult thing is to tell the couple that there's fertility challenges and one of them may not have viable gametes, or there may not be any gametes at all. But once this diagnosis is made, the next thing then is to refer to psychologists, because it involves grief or the loss of the potential to actually propagate your own genetic offsprings. So we go through the psychology therapy first, and then once they are ready, then we will consider looking at donated gametes. And you are right that it's usually a little bit easier when it is the woman that has the challenge than when it's a man, because the it is the consolation for the woman is that even if the genetic material is not yours, but at least you can carry the baby in your womb, so you feel like you have contributed.
Yeah.
Whereas with the men, the only contribution is to rub that belly, and then when the baby is born, to really try as hard as possible to bond with the baby. So a lot of psychotherapy goes and counseling goes into that.
And whenever I think reproductive technology, my immediate thoughts is women. What sort of advancements have happened where men are concerned? Because fertility is not just a women issue, right?
You are absolutely right. One in six couples that experience fertility, 40% of the cases are male fertility challenges.
Dog.
Yeah. So usually when a couple comes to consult, we always recommend that both of them get tested.
Yeah.
And then we go through the full tut of both general health of both the woman and the man, as well as the fertility check in the form of a sperm test and the fertility, the womb and the eggs and the hormones of the woman.
Yeah. And to assist the men then with infertility, what progress have we made there?
So there are several causes that could cause a man to have fertility challenges, So the most difficult being the absence of sperm, which is what we've discussed. And if it is a production problem, meaning that there's no sperm whatsoever, there's no other way of getting it out of you, then we look at donor sperm, which we've touched on already. Sometimes the test comes back and it says there's no sperm, but it's actually a transport issue, meaning that there's blockage. There's a condition called absence of the vas deferens. Vas deferens is like a pipe that carries the sperm from the testicles out. So some people are born without it. Yes, but they are producing the sperm. It just doesn't get... It's associated with another genetic condition called cystic fibrosis, which affects the lungs. So for such a person, we would then check for this genetic test. If it's, they are not carriers, we then can be able to do testicular aspiration, where you can put a needle straight in the testicles and extract the sperm. And then this sperm would be used for a procedure called intracytoplasmic sperm injection.
Oh, you're so, really doctoring us now.
I know. So what they call ICSI. So with ICSI, you now take that sperm, because it's not swimming. You can't put it in, like you can't do insemination with it. You have to inject it inside the egg for fertilization to take place. So these are some of the things that advancements that exist where there is a male factor fertility challenge.
And what are some of the biggest misconceptions you've seen when it comes to fertility, especially among women in their late 20s and early 30s?
Thinking that for as long as you are seeing your period, there's nothing wrong. I know. Believing that because your parents had children up to the age of 44, that will happen for you too. And thinking that because you've had one child, you will not have a problem. There is such a thing called secondary infertility as well.
No way.
And people are always like, what do you mean? I've got a child. We're like, oh, yeah, that could have been. But things have changed since then for both men and women, actually.
And what are the things that can change?
So weight, lifestyle, blockage of the tubes. You know, and you could get early menopause, you know, where you've been ovulating nicely and then boom, at the age of 30, now your ovarian reserve is not there anymore. And you are thinking, no, I still have 10 years. And actually, your eggs are finished.
Doc, can we talk about the cost implication? I feel like if we didn't touch on that, it would be so unfair to the conversation. But these exercises are really expensive. For example, a single round of IVF, that can cost you a good 2 or 3 bond payments.
Absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, it ranges anything from 60,000 cheapest to 120,000 or more if you are doing genetic testing.
Why is it so expensive?
Because it is not... what's the word? Government does not necessarily subsidize it. That is number one. Though there are some government hospitals that are providing it. So even when you go to a government hospital, then you probably will still have to pay some amount.
Oh, man.
But and the expensive things, the drugs are quite expensive. But you know, Bumi, this perception that it is expensive.
Is it a perception, Doc? 120,000 rand.
Believe you me, it's a lot of money. Yes, we cannot underplay that. It's a lot of money. But if you compare it with any other medical treatment, it costs 100,000 rand to stay in ICU for one day. You understand?
That if perspective you are doing is everything.
Cancer treatment. One round could be 50,000, 100,000, and you usually have to do 6. So, and if you go and have a cesarean section in the hospital, you may be looking at something like 60,000 rand just to pay the hospital, never mind the doctor and all that. So the amount is a lot. We talk about it because medical aids are not paid. That's what makes it
That's
sound
the
like in a
difference.
lot in comparison. It comes from your pocket. In that sense, you are right. It's a lot of money. And really, we cannot underplay that that amount of money is a lot to bring from your own pocket. But comparing it to any other medical treatment, it is comparable. It's just that you are now paying it from a pocket. There's one or two medical aids that are paying now, which we are very glad about those advancements.
Yeah.
But in general, most medical aids are still not paying. That's
sure.
why we're still talking about the cost, and it seems a lot.
Yeah, and you know, that reframing or that perspective is actually so important, because comparatively you realize it's just medical expenses, because medicine and medical treatments are all expensive, if we're honest.
Yeah.
Shoo.
Yes.
Now, the thing that I've found out is many people believe fertility solutions are only for women struggling to conceive. What would you say to someone who's not ready for kids but wants to be smart and proactive about her options?
So I would say that you must go and see a fertility specialist, because like I say, depending on how long you want to wait, you don't want to wake up and oops, you actually could have preserved some of
Imagine.
Your potential, but actually you just live the life believing that everything is hunky-dory,
and then you meet the men of your dreams. Men of your dreams want
later.
A child.
I know. My darling. And then there's so much stress.
Yeah.
So I think it is good to actually, it's the same thing as buying a car. You go into insurance, you make sure, and you, I mean, most of us have, thank God, not been in accidents, but you still pay your insurance just in case.
Yeah.
One of those is. So it is one of those things that we should actually look at and be proactive about.
Yeah. There's a thought that was in my mind. I don't know why I'm losing it now, but we'll come back to it. Is egg freezing the best or only preventative strategy? Or are there other maybe lesser known methods that offer flexibility?
Unfortunately, at the moment, there isn't any other way if you intend to prolong your, or rather to postpone your childbearing. There is no other way of keeping that, because the biological clock is a fact. We are born with all our eggs in our baskets, and we are a very wasteful species. Every month when we menstruate, we literally throw away a whole lot of eggs, and you get to a point where all of them are finished. So egg freezing at the moment for a woman who is not married and does not intend to have a child is the best option. Look, you can freeze embryos if you are certain about the partner you're having kids with. And then if the two of you, let's say like you are married, but you still want to chase your career, you still want to be financially stable or stuff, whatever reasons that you have that you don't want to have kids, then probably embryos can be frozen as well.
I've actually remembered that question. Dog, IVF, egg freezing 30 years ago, and maybe it's because I'm only 31 on Friday, but like 30 years ago, I don't think it was a conversation. What's been happening? Is it our lifestyle that's changing? Is it all the pollution in the air? Why are these things seeming like a modern problem to, or modern solution to a problem we didn't have a while back?
I mean, a while back, people were having children much earlier in life.
Yes.
This business of postponing and waiting until late was not quite a problem. And there are people that, if you can remember well, within the society that didn't have children. And I mean, African cultures have got very cruel names that they used to give to these people. Yeah, so then people like me will come in now. We've started to say nobody has to be given such a horrible name anymore. There's always hope, and we can investigate.
So it's not that the problem is new. It's that now we have solutions for it.
We've got solutions.
Yeah.
We are investigating more. People are coming forward, and more investigation. Yeah, so people are taking care of their health, and they've got agency about checking what's going on with them more than what used to happen before.
Yeah. I found that there's a growing interest in using art proactively, even before any fertility issues show up. Does acting earlier, say in your late 20s, actually improve success rates? And if so, should more women be thinking about these tools as insurance, like you said, and not just solutions?
So it is a fact that younger people have got higher fertility potential. Mm. So definitely your success rate will be higher when you are younger.
Mm.
We still recommend that if before you come and do a fertility treatment, if you are trying to have a child, mm. you should try for at least a year if you are younger than 35 years of age.
Oh.
And yeah, and if you've been trying for a year, don't wait even more. I mean, I'm a person of faith.
Yeah,
I believe children come from God.
Yeah.
But if you've been trying 18 months, nothing is happening, let's investigate.
Mm.
Yes, then you wait. And then by the time you go for consultation, now, indeed, like you are saying, the basket's empty now.
Mm. And Doc, speaking of proactivity, when is the best age to actually start thinking about this? At what age do our eggs start acting kind of shady?
So we recommend that between the age of 28 and 32, you should start freezing your eggs because that's when your chances of a high yield is the most.
Mm.
But the age at which we rapidly lose eggs is from the age of 35, 37. Then the number of eggs that we lose rapidly decline. So just to give you an idea, when we are conceived, we've got about 6 million eggs.
Mm.
When we are born, we've got about 200 million. I mean, yes. And then, when we are conceived, it's 6 million.
Mm.
When we're born, it's about 2 million.
How?
And then
where did the eggs go in the womb?
We are a wasteful species.
Haibo.
I know. And then by the time we have your first period, you've got about 600,000.
Dog, there's no way.
So indeed, and then just like that, it becomes a slippery slope that every month you are losing 10, 20 eggs like that.
Heaven.
And then when you get to 35, now you start losing even rapidly faster.
Mm. There's a lot of emotion tied to these decisions. There's pressure, shame, fear, and hope, you know. How do you help patients manage these psychological and relational dynamics?
Yeah, so first thing, it is important that we walk the journey as a couple.
Ooh.
So that we can, because it's actually not just women that take it badly.
100%.
Men take it really, really badly. You will start seeing when they don't come for consultation. So at our clinic at Genesis in Pretoria, we have a support group that meets at least every month or every other month where you can meet other people that are going through the same journey.
Mm.
And it has been found that people who are part of support groups are more likely to have less stress.
Mm.
And they do better, and the outcomes are better when the men see that they are not the only ones, and when the women feel like there's a tribe that they can speak to. I'm a staunch believer in God, so definitely we walk that journey of hope, you know. And then also referring the clients to a psychologist, so a multidisciplinary approach. We've got a team of sisters as well that will do the counseling and making sure that you have a tribe that surrounds you, you know, that can walk the journey with you.
Yeah. What's your view on how society, culture, or even religion plays into the conversation around arts, especially here in South Africa? And Doc, the thing is, people get accused of playing God, right? I really want us to park here for a bit because I think there's so much misconception within culture. I mean, what kind of a woman are you who can't give birth naturally? You know, in religion, are you trying to play God? If he wants you to have children, you'll have it. So how can we actually debunk a lot of myths and actually talk about this honestly? And what is your view on all of it?
I mean, you are raising a very important point in South Africa where gender-based violence is so high.
Yeah.
and coming from sometimes women to women, and where people call each other names and all these things that we are saying in the cultural background of when somebody's not able to have a child, and some people then frown upon it when you go and consult. And in the religious circles, it's even worse. When people believe that you don't have faith you are coming to consult, if you are doing IVF, you don't trust God enough. And I mean, if you are born without the tubes, like I said, God knew what he was doing when he did that. So I always tell my clients that the breath of life comes from God. You know, so there is not a single doctor throughout the whole world who can give that breath of life. And we can only do IVF up to day 5. And then after that, the only place that baby can grow is within the mother's womb.
Oh, wow.
And you know, there's that scripture that God says that I needed you, I needed you in your mother's womb. So nobody else can need better than God can.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
It's important to actually make people realize that, you know, there's scriptures that says it's the glory of God to hide the matter, and the glory of men to search it, you know. So, and he, you know, the things that are hidden belongs to us, and those that are, I mean, those are revealed belong to us, and those that are hidden belong to God. So if God wants us to know, he will show it. And especially about life, he will, the devil has got no way of actually giving life. At least that's my belief. So, it's a topic that I'm very comfortable reassuring people that, no, don't worry. You know, it can only be God. We only do our part, and then God does the rest.
Yeah. And, Doc, if you could just take the science hat off for a second, what do you think people wish art could give them just beyond the baby? What is the thing that people are actually searching for?
People search for a gender of their choice. People want to have more than one baby as
a goal.
You know? I've met people who say, can't I have 3 or 4 and then I'm done?
All at once.
And sometimes people want to know, can I determine the color of the eyes? The IQ. I know. But it's not possible. No, we don't look that far. But we can do genetic testing, mainly for abnormalities, to reduce miscarriage rate, to improve implantation, like that. But people have got very interesting things that they would like art could give. And I mean, if we could have a situation where the time to conception is really shortened, because going from one cycle to another.
Doc, can I interrupt you for a minute? I'm so sorry. Something changes in your sound. I don't know if it's just on my side, or even the listeners would struggle to hear you.
Oh, okay.
This is perfect. You're great now. Yeah.
Okay. So I was saying that, now I've forgotten what I was saying.
I think it had to do with the different variations of what people want on their babies, or from the pregnancy.
Okay. That we basically do genetic testing mainly to make sure that there's no miscarriages, and to make sure. I was saying that if we could shorten the time to conception, you were saying if I were to take off my head. Such that people don't go from one circle to another, because it's emotionally draining, physically draining, it is financially draining. So my, you know, if it was possible, we usually will say try 3 cycles, but some people go up to the 5th, the 7th, and it is terrible for everyone.
Has there ever been a moment in your consulting room where you felt the line between medicine and miracle blur?
You had to go there.
Please, let's go there. I'm sorry I didn't prepare you, but I'm so intrigued by this conversation.
You know, when somebody has been to, I've had a patient that I've told that scientifically the eggs are finished. There's even like changes, because when the eggs are finished, when you reach menopause, the bone starts changing, and you know, there were all the clinical evidence. We prayed with her to say, look, children come from God. After a few years, she comes back to me and she says, you know, there's something moving inside me.
Hi, Bo.
And we scanned, and lo and behold,
oh, man.
There was a human being in that room.
Oh.
I promise you.
And what was the conversation?
It can only be God.
It can only be God.
It can only be God. Because clinically.
Yeah, it was impossible.
All the evidence showed that, you know, everything pointed to the fact that it is done.
Mm.
You know? And just like that, there was a baby. You know?
Sure.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a whole lot that we can share about the wonders that we've seen God do for his people. Or some. I remember there was one client that we had to bring the embryos all the way from Portugal. Mm. And they've forgotten about them. They'd done cycles all over, everywhere. And then as we are chatting, because I'm a very chatty person, then it comes up that she's got some lone embryo in Portugal, in Lisbon. So we, after all these cycles that we've done and they did not succeed, now the embryo got in the plane and flew all the way to South Africa, Pretoria. We put the embryo in and she went home. And I don't know if she did the pregnancy test early and it was negative.
Mm.
So it was almost, so you can imagine the embryo was like, I think about 5 or 7 years frozen.
Yeah.
So obviously it is younger, but, and it has traveled the oceans and everything. And then, like, she wasn't feeling too well.
Yeah.
She went to see the doctor, and guess what? There was a baby.
Mm.
Like, you know, and she came back to South Africa. She's not from South Africa, she came to say, I have to make sure this baby is taken care of here.
Yeah.
And we deliver the baby here.
Mm.
Like that little forgotten one, it's almost like a baby in the wilderness somewhere.
It's like know? Me, dog. Can I tell you the age difference between me and my siblings?
Yes, Mpumi.
My sister is 17 years older than I am. And my brother, 11. I was the forgotten embryo.
You were the forgotten embryo. I wonder where you were sitting.
I wonder.
We thank God that you made it there.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go on and on. There's a whole lot of miracles that we can tell. But we have just seen the wonders of God in this job. Yes.
You know, right now, as we wrap up our conversation, I'm thinking about the woman who is listening to this and feeling kind of triggered, maybe, because this is something that they would love to explore because they've tried all the ways, right? And it just hasn't worked. What are the silent fears that this woman doesn't say out loud, but that show up in the room or will show up in the room when they come? And I think I want us to go here because sometimes when you hear the thing you've been thinking, you feel validated and you get that push to, okay, let me try this out. I'm normal. These thoughts are normal. This desire is normal. So what are those fears that she could be having right now that need validation and for them to be enough for her to say, let me actually go to Dr. Deboho.
And see, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, things like there's something wrong with me, you know?
Yeah,
There is no more hope.
Yeah.
I always tell my clients I deal with hope. We will always try all sorts of options and, you know, some unconventional, but we will really explore everything and everything, including a whole lot of praying and fasting.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But some people fear losing their marriage.
Mm.
Yeah, some people feel like they are not woman enough, you know, and that there's no worth in life because they'll say, look, I've got everything. The only thing that I don't have is the ability to reproduce.
And Doc, I can imagine how difficult it is because literally over the 28 days, our body is preparing to either have a baby or to punish you for not having a baby. So it seems like our entire bodies are just created for reproducing. And when it doesn't happen, it's like the one thing you should be getting right, you're failing to get right.
You are failing. Yeah. Especially high achieving women.
Oh, Doc, are you talking to me?
Oh, You know those ones who are achievers, they have everything. And there's just this one they cannot get right. Give them anything, an exam.
Yeah.
Give them a job. Give them a project. They will do it 100 times over and better than anyone.
Yeah.
And you just have this thing that will not happen. They're like, how difficult can it be? You know, you just get together with someone.
I mean,
some people have a quickie and they have a child.
Yes.
You try all this time and it doesn't happen.
Mm.
It can be very devastating. But there's always hope.
Yeah.
There's always hope. I mean, there are difficult situations, Pumi, where we do have to say, you know what, we've tried everything. Should we consider donation? Should we consider surrogacy? Should we consider adoption? We do sometimes get there as well. Yeah.
And doc, so what I'm hearing is it's either the sperm, the egg, the embryo, all those things. What about when it's the womb itself? Is there any help for that?
This is when I'm saying that we can do surrogacy. There's newest developments that are happening about the possibility of transplanting a womb. Because can I tell you that a womb doesn't get old?
Oh, so,
yeah,
I mean, here's Sarah, you know.
From a 70-year-old granny, we can take that womb and implant it into a 25-year-old.
Doctor!
I promise you.
Aibo! Nizandlope medicine!
Yeah. So that story of Sarah is not just a folklore thing.
Yeah,
the womb does not age. It has got the capacity to have a child for as long as the person carrying it is alive.
Then, Doc, why do the eggs then finish? Help me understand.
Because the womb does not reproduce. It doesn't make like a number of gametes every month. So it's just that muscle that is sitting there that expands when there's a baby, and then it gets smaller when there's no baby. Whereas the ovary is the one that produces egg after egg after egg. Yeah, so the womb is just in a dormant state, waiting for the next baby to come in.
Yeah, Doc, I'm so sorry, I'm chuckling. Someone sent a message saying someone turned into the station for Three Angels message and heard about quickies. Doc, you're corrupting the people's ears.
Oh, man.
Okay, maybe I should have said, this is a sensitive topic. If you are sensitive, go on, Doc. I was just pausing.
What we mean is that with very minimal effort.
Yes, that's what we mean.
Yes, that's what we mean. With very minimal effort, then the baby is there, whereas somebody is trying months on end, years on end, days on end. That is what we meant. So,
our bodies are such a wonder. Our bodies are such a wonder, though. A 70-year-old womb in a 25-year-old body.
Yes, that can be able to happen. Yeah, you can transplant that, and look, it's got its own problems.
Of course,
it's very much the same as any other organ transplant. But at least that is new hope that people can be able to carry their own babies. You know, like sometimes people have had the womb removed because of one complication or the other, or there are people who are born without a womb. So before. For these people, the only solution was surrogacy, where somebody had to carry the baby for you. But now it is possible that we can transplant the womb.
Yeah. You know, and we were talking earlier about the woman who's thinking, maybe this is something that I have to do. And, you know, I'm curious about the kind of mindset that especially Christian women should have when considering art. You know, is there emotional homework that you wish more people did before stepping into that process? Because you can find someone saying, are we playing God right now? Maybe he just doesn't want me to be a mom. So what is the kind of mindset they should be preparing themselves to have, or even gearing up to having before stepping into your consultation room?
I would say that you must believe the promises of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stand in those promises.
Yeah.
Having said that, you must also remember that God is sovereign, and he will do what he does when he does it. So know that you're definitely not playing God, neither are we. And we must be patient and be ready to receive when the time is right. And really fortify yourself with your faith. It's a very trying time. Yeah, because sometimes things don't happen, and if you believed, I believed that, you know, and you say all the right scriptures, and still you are not conceiving.
Yeah,
then it can shake your faith a lot. A lot of people will say, "Look, I've been a good girl. I did everything right. I waited until I was married. Why am I not falling pregnant?" Yeah, and you know they feel like, but why won't God reward my purity? Why? You know, and I would really advise that you do some spiritual counseling. I would really, you know, wish that the elders, the pastors, the leaders can be more open for people to come to them and say, this is what's happening, and I am planning to embark on this journey, and can you walk the journey with me? There are support groups, Christian support groups out there.
Yeah.
That do that, you know. There's a group called Hannah's Grace. You know, they have a team like Hannah's Angels who will pray with you when you are going through the cycle. You know, and you know things like that. Hannah's in waiting. So at least if you join such support groups, then they speak the same language as you, and you don't feel like you are alone, or you know, you have to hide whatever it is that you are doing. So seek out people who've got the same faith as you, who are walking the same journey as you, because believe you me, you are not alone.
You're not alone. Now, from sperm donors to surrogacy, embryo freezing, genetic screening, where is the science heading? What's exciting you most in the world of art right now?
What is exciting now? You know, the fact that the first IVF baby is now 40 years old.
Come on.
She is 40 years old.
That is so exciting.
The interesting thing is that we are now at a point where more and more people are not having children.
Yep. Or even desiring to have children, case in point.
In developed countries, people don't even have, you are supposed to have at least 2.1 children, meaning at least yourself and your partner minimum, replace the two of you.
Yeah.
And people are not even doing that.
Yeah.
So people are defying the commandment to go for the be fruitful and multiply. So those are some of the
come
things
on,
that are
don't
happening.
Say it like that. Don't put it like that.
But that's what we are seeing, that people, look, I think some of the people feel like the world is just too cruel. They don't
true
want to bring
story.
A child into this world.
True story.
Yeah, that why bring a child in a world like this? But these are some of the observations when we go to these international conferences that their biggest problems is that the people are not having children. I mean, in South Africa, we are still having teenage pregnancies, so our problem is different. Yeah, but in other places, more and more people are not having children.
Yeah. True story. And what advice would you give to someone listening right now who isn't trying to have a baby but wants to make wise decisions that her future self will thank her for?
I would say to you, depending on how old you are, just pop in, for a woman especially. Pop in, check what your ovarian reserve looks like.
Yeah.
To actually see, do you have the time that you think you have. So that you can then be able to make that wise decision to pay forward your insurance for freezing your eggs if it is necessary. If not, you just, you know, live a healthy life. Live a healthy life, and please, no multiple partners.
Please.
Because those are some of the reasons why we have infertility.
Please, my people. Please. Oh, what a conversation. You know, on the surface, assisted reproductive technology is about falling pregnant. But when you take a deeper look, you'll find that it's actually about freedom. you know, the freedom to understand your body, to preserve your choices, to plan with knowledge instead of panic and all the pressure that comes with family and society. And I think most importantly for me, to honor your timeline, not the ones that others have handed to you. Because I think that's also very important. We get rushed into these things and we end up making mistakes. And so, Doc, I really want to thank you for being a guide tonight. You guided us through the science, but also the soul of the topic, you know, and you hit my person there with quickies. But in all honesty, you opened our eyes to the truth that fertility isn't a race against time. It's a relationship with self, really. And technology, when it's paired with truth, can be one of the most liberating tools of our time. I really appreciate that you had this chat with us.
Thank you very much. And thank you for inviting me.
Any parting shot, Doc, things that I didn't ask you that you're like, if I walk away from here not having said this, I would have shortchanged my people.
That children come from God.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Even to the ones who don't want them. If God decides, oh, Jesus, help me. Oh. And I think
He will.
And to everyone listening, whether you want children or you don't, whether you're ready or you're unsure, whether you're in your 20s, your 30s or beyond, you have options, you have science, and you deserve clear, compassionate conversations like this one. And Doc, you were amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mpumi, and good night.
Good night. This has been Tech Tuesday. I am Nompumelelo Mbonani, and I hope you've just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow, but for now, I'm out of here. Ciao.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.